Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, we're going to spend a lot of time focusing on the U.S. equity markets and quite frankly, the markets breaking down today. I think importantly for the S&P on that daily chart, it did finally just break below that 50-day moving average, which has been pretty strong support through the last about 6 months here. The weakness that we're seeing today, and in all fairness over the last couple of weeks, really is some of the biggest weakness we've seen in these markets ever since the COVID crash and maybe that very quick correction that we saw in tail end of October of last year. But Ed, let's talk about the timing of this weakness and again, the drop below the 50-day moving average. What do you think is important for investors and traders to understand now that we are looking at markets that are down broadly over 2% today?
Well, before we even look at the Evergrande story, the seasonal factors, we're setting the market up for a potential pullback here. And now we're finally, almost 5% off those record highs for the S&P 500. And you mentioned the technical selling after the 50-day break was big, and now we're testing the 100-day. So it just looks like everything seems to be bubbling bearish. The Evergrande's debt fears, while that is really, it's going to stay isolated. That's going to be mostly a China story. The problem that you're starting to see is that the risks that this could spread into further concerns about investing in China. And you're going to have that debate begin where, can you still invest in China is really going to weigh on people. And that's really dragging sentiment down. And I think when you take a look at, the rest of what has been driving the market, there's still persistent fears as far as, well, how will the Northeast do in the U.S. with the next wave of COVID. I think right now there's this fear that you're going to see schools once again close. There's also, I think, this belief that, the chip shortage is persisting. It did not really improve over these last couple of months. And that never ending problem is really going to impact the margins for a lot of companies. And then when we take a look at the rest of the drivers, there has been another record year for IPOs. But I think the big takeaway, though, is that while we're seeing another tremendous wave of investment into these new companies, the IPO performance, though, has been abysmal. Right now, you're seeing that I think almost over 40% of those IPOs have been really struggling. They're below their IPO price, and I think that you're having a lot of investors, for the most part, just maintain that wait and see approach as far as, well, what is Fed policy going to do, and how is that going to evolve over these next coming months? And I think right now, the market, it has been on a tremendous run, and I think that you're seeing probably a lot more follow through selling here. And while a 5% pullback is finally a significant level, I think there's still potential here for a little bit more downside. But I think that in the end, if we're talking 10%, by the end of the week or into next, I think that's when you'll probably start to see a lot of investors start to scaling aggressively back in.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's a lot of different currents between the September being a seasonally weak month. You've had a continuation of the selling we've seen the last couple of weeks. We also had the sell Rosh Hashanah by Yom Kippur, but it doesn't look like they're getting much buying in. And then we had the quad riching on Friday. So there's just been a lot of things pressuring the markets down. Most of the articles out today are talking about investors worry that there's a slowdown in growth and that the real issue is, Evergrande and all these other things, as side notes, that there's a concern that the growth is slowing. Do you think that's the case? And do you think that will affect Fed policy as we move into the meeting this Wednesday?
Right now, the Fed's on cruise control. I think this meeting is just it's just another meeting in their wait and see approach. The market has been pretty aggressive in anticipating that if the recovery continues to unfold the way it seems like it could, you're probably going to see that the Fed is going to be in a position where they can make that taper announcement in November. I think right now it's over 70%, 75%, I think, of economists polled think that it's either November or December. I think there's only like a 2% chance that it could be at this upcoming meeting. That would be the biggest shocker of the world. But I think you're going to see if there's risks to the labor market recovery that is going to really, I think, deter that move to substantial progress. Inflation, if those concerns continue to be showing some signs of transitoriness, you could see that the Fed could stay in the game a lot longer. But I think that right now the Fed is getting a little anxious. I think they want to start removing this accommodation, and I think Fed Chair Powell will likely make sure he has the market positioned to expect that November is when they'll make a taper announcement. And I think that, you know, ultimately should be somewhat positive for Treasury yields. And I think that, you know, eventually we'll probably see stabilize above 130. And right now, you know, this flight to safety, it is warranted. And I think that could, you know, keep Treasuries in demand. But in the end, I think that you're going to see that there will be probably, a more optimistic approach for the rest of the year. I think the growth concerns are valid, but I think that this economy is still in a strong position. And I think, you know, for the most part, the COVID strategy, you can debate that for quite some time. But I think it has provided an opportunity here for the economy to reopen during the fourth quarter. And right now you're probably going to see that will ultimately drive appetite. And I think if you take a look at the airline stocks, there was that Financial Times article that, the vaccinated people from Europe were going to be able to come in. And I think that really kind of helped the airlines tentatively, go from negative to positive. So I think there's a lot of optimism once we get some of these risks off. And I think Evergrande, this is a very big story that, you know, you're seeing that it's raising the risk of a credit squeeze in China. But I think that, you know, there was this belief, and I think, you know, over the last couple months, this story has been, you know, covered, that China would, you know, be commended if they allowed this company to go under, because, you know, there's something called excessive risk that is extremely well known in China. And, if China could show that they're serious at controlling their debt, that would be a very positive long-term, short-term, terrible. But I think right now the way everyone's anticipating is that Beijing will likely want to support whatever's necessary to kind of avoid, you know, shockwaves through their financial system, which means you're going to see maybe officials are telling the largest lender, Country Garden, to help buy that debt. And there's been some reports that could happen, but I think in the end you'll see that this. You know, is Evergrande too big to fail? Well, it's really up to the Chinese government, and I don't think they want to have that systemic risk. So I think you're going to probably see there will be some positive developments, I think, in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Evergrande story is no one knows how the Chinese government is going to react to this, right? Who they're going to save, if they are even going to save Evergrande, and what the lenders are going to do about this. But that's why it makes it such an interesting story. Also fun, I think, to see some of this weakness starting off a week where we have so many central banks meeting, 12 in total, and a lot of the focus will be on the Fed. But we also do have a couple central banks, some of the smaller ones that are going to be, or the expectation is, a lot more hawkish. Let's talk about where money is flowing, though, today, because with the U.S. markets down, it's pulling down everything. Emerging markets are down almost 3%. The financial sector is down 3.5%. The energy sector down almost 5%. base metals are down. Silver is even down, but gold is getting a little bit of a buy on the futures market, up about $10. And also bonds are moving up. The US dollar, mostly flat, but trading still within this range and about 92 up to not quite 94. Ed, what's your takeaway from where money is flowing into and out of, in all fairness, today when we are seeing this weakness?
I think right now we're clearly seeing, you know, the flight to safety, you know, the 10-year yield is down six basis points. So that's pretty significant. Now, utilities are the one sector that is positive. And right now, when we take a look at risky assets across the board, it's fascinating to see just, how low even oil prices are. I think that there's this, this kind of a, I think, Monday reset that we're really seeing across spaces. And I think you're also seeing some of that follow through from the expiration of options, where there's kind of this, anticipation that you're going to see enhanced volatility going forward. And right now you're having a lot of investors that are struggling to handle that, because I think we were so used to relatively tight trading ranges and the never ending string of fresh record highs. So now I think you're going to probably start to see that a lot of investors they're going to be focused on I think some of the favorite I think reopening trades again. I think there's that belief that, you know, once we get past these risks, you're still going to have, you know, that infrastructure spending bill that is going to get passed. And I think that, the importance of monetary support is big, but I think right now what's going to have a bigger impact on the stock market is the fiscal side of things. And we're very close to getting that finalized. And I think that any risks to the outlook are just going to cement the Democrats' argument into convincing those conservative Democrats along. So I think you're probably going to see a lot of investors right now. They're going to be very cautious. And right now there's this belief that you could still see some further pressure here, but I think there's going to be a lot of people ready to buy if we go down a few more percentage points.
Well, just one more question on the safe haven aspect. While money's going into bonds, gold, and still underpinning the dollar, we are not seeing it go into cryptos as a safe haven. So we hear all the time that Bitcoin is going to be a safe haven along with these other assets, yet it doesn't seem to do that. It didn't happen in the flash crash last year. What do you make of that? Is Bitcoin a safe haven? Is it something that's a refuge in these times of worry?
Not at all. Bitcoin is, for I think any new investor, you have to, take a look at, how has Bitcoin performed, over the last few years, and it is the ultimate risky asset. Year to date, Bitcoin is up over 50%, Ethereum's up over 320%, and I think right now, you're what we've seen during, any major sell-off, the institutional investor that has bought Bitcoin is the first thing they sell. Why? Because it has yielded them the most profit. And guess what? You're probably going to see that one become an easy, several percentage point move lower. And if you want to, at that time, you can easily, put your money into other uses and buying some equities that, are becoming very attractive. So I think you're going to probably see that, the headlines, this week for Bitcoin, there's a lot of developing stories, and a lot of that is on the regulatory side, the SEC questioning how some cryptocurrencies, whether they hold China paper it's even El Salvador's president just, tweeting that they bought the dip. I think you're going to see that, this volatility is going to remain extremely elevated. And for the most part, Bitcoin has, it's really ironed out a few key ranges. And I think right now you're starting to see Bitcoin. It looks like it's going to be able to continue to consolidate. I think, in anticipation of, as far as, you know, what's the next, you know, few steps on the regulatory side. And I think there's a lot of nervousness ahead of the Fed's paper on central bank digital currencies. And I think the path for stablecoins, it's getting a lot harder. And stablecoins are critical for the success of Bitcoin because many people purchase Bitcoin via stablecoins. So you're going to see that, you know, the next few weeks could be, I think the risks are to the downside. And but once you get past that period, then, you know, you're just waiting for further progress on the ESG side of things. And once that happens, and that's the green light to you know, make that run back to uncharted territory. So it's going to be a wild ride, as always. But right now, I think you're starting to see a lot of capitulation as far as locking in profits here, not just institutional traders, but retail traders. This is a big pivot for many. That mentality of hodling is fading by some, and I think you're going to see that. You know, you're going to see some people buying these dips, but I think I think you have to be very careful right now with how Bitcoin's trading. But I think the longer term bull case still remains intact.
Yeah, that's the thing with Bitcoin too. I think we want to draw a lot of correlations between cryptocurrencies and other markets. But I also do think there are so many traders so focused on cryptocurrencies that a lot of them kind of march to their own drum in a sense and don't pay too much attention to what else is going on in some of the other markets. But again, it's that whole regulatory cloud hanging over them that no one knows how that's going to play out. But either way, very interesting start to the week after a couple of bad weeks for the market. And now this breakdown right before all these central bank meetings. Let's see what comes out of this week, because undoubtedly, at least the way this week is starting, we're going to see some volatility. Ed, thanks as always for your time, buddy. I'll post a link below where everyone can read over your daily note, and we'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.